Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina, and hopefully everyone was able to have a good and restful weekend and time off of diving into the news and making sure we have to check our emotions at the door, and hopefully we are still doing that over the weekend, but I know it can get intense sometimes of just sitting here and staying on the wall a little bit. And sometimes you need those, a lot of times you need those times of just nothingness with the Lord and praying for what is going on in your life and what the Lord has called you to. But today is heavy on scripture and understanding where we're at in this season, as some things are really coming to the surface today as we get closer towards the end of the Supreme Court term of releasing their opinions from this last session. And so we want to, number one, start off in scripture as usual, and then also kind of balance between what's going on in the news and just basic biblical principles for us to walk out in this season. And so first, you know, I titled it Raise Up Your Banner and Shout, and that comes from a portion of Chuck Pierce's Reorder Your Day. And he goes into this section and talks about how, just like Joseph went from the dungeon to the palace, is in this season of reordering our day, of being awakened, as we're being awakened to the night season, praying what the Lord is calling us to pray for, and be ready. The prophetic he has is be ready to go from that dungeon like Joseph into the palace like Joseph was. And so, but I want to say this, and this goes along with what, if you listen to our Wednesday and Sunday services, of what Sherry Free and Roger Charlotte were talking about yesterday, and it's just really this continuing to walk out the pruning season that we are in, that the Lord is walking the body of Christ through now. And this scripture really weighed upon me as I read it this past week. In Psalms 94, and I think it's something for us to remember. We know how in the New Testament, the Lord talks about how he disciplines those whom he loves. And this is that same application just in Psalms. Psalms 94, 12 through 15. And I thought the Amplified Version explained it and was written very clearly here. And it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man whom you discipline, David speaking to the Lord, and instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Let's remember that you may give him power to keep himself calm in the days of adversity. And I think that's where we're at, is the reason the Lord wants us, and I think David points it clearly, is the reason we need to allow the pruning and go through the pruning in this season is so that we can have this calm in the days of adversity. And then he goes on to say, until the inevitable pit of corruption is dug for the wicked. And then verse 14 and 15 says, for the Lord will not cast off nor spurn his people, neither will he abandon his heritage, for justice will return to the uncompromisingly righteous, and all upright in heart will follow it. Now, again, you don't see here a timeline of how it's going to happen immediately. Just as the Lord will bring his justice. And that's an understanding of a basic biblical principle, is that if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, understand that eventually it will happen. Look at the promises the Lord made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It didn't happen in their lifetimes, but they continued to go out. And even in Psalms 94, it talks about that, about how the Lord will fulfill his promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to his people. So as we go through this, understanding that when the Lord awakens us, it's time to shift from, be ready to shift from that dungeon to the palace, but that takes a pruning. That takes an understanding of, okay, Lord, if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I'm going to have faith and the hope and be calm that no matter when it happens, that you said it will happen. And that's something that's very, very poignant, I think we need to remember. Also, in this section, Chuck talks about how they did a morning watch, and in some of their times, they had some prophetic to go along with these things of being ready to go from dungeon to palace, and really, as we position ourselves, he tells about the story, a story of the mantles and the banners of why you raise them, over yourself to walk under as a protection. And he talks about during the prayer movement, the meeting that they had, they used a large Joseph Coates banner to come under and to beginning to wave the banner of war, ultimately so that we can be the bride. And he goes on to say this is the last part. He says that for this season and what's happening right now, he says, quote, there are people finding their place again to get the banner back up. And this is how prophetic act works in the midst of corporate prayer. The Lord began to prophesy. Even, and this is the prophecy, even now, I am beginning to cause arms to be raised, even though this authority structure will not be able to lead my people in this land into its freedom. I say to you, and this is very key, you must rise up and lift up the arms of the structures that remain. Now, does that mean that they are wholeheartedly, you know, doing what the Lord wants? Not necessarily, and we're seeing that play out. But I think it's very key if we're walking this out, and I think if we're not aware of this, and maybe we need to be reminded of this, is that, look, let's keep our emotions in check. Yes, there are, you know, what Todd Trahan talked about, the five foundations that we find in Genesis, but also is what is there, let's uphold the fight for life, which is something we'll talk about today. Other issues as well. The structures that the Lord has put in place that we need to stand for in this season and lift up the arms of the leaders who are there, not abandoning them, even though they may make some wrong decisions here and there. We're all human. But at the end of the day, let's stay in relationship. Let's show the love of the Lord. Let's show that peace. Let's keep our emotions in check and then walk with people through these decisions that they're making on an everyday basis. And that starts with ourselves. So I want to lay that groundwork because it's going to be very key of understanding that what the prophecy here is that these leaders are ultimately not going to be the ones who are going to walk us through. And that's why we want to continue to pray for the leaders in the future who are going to be in the future who can lead us there because they're going to need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what the Lord is seeking his body of Christ to do. And it starts in the church, first and foremost. So with that, let's go ahead and shift to the news story. So today is, as expected, there will be a blockade of what they're calling a shutdown of the Supreme Court to prevent, quote unquote, prevent the expected Roe v. Wade ruling. This is really to intimidate. And I want to read this because this is from a phone call that activists said that, I mean, they know that this is unconstitutional. They said that on a phone call that has now been made public by the Epoch Times. And this is their goal, is to create a decision dilemma, presenting the court, Congress, and law enforcement and the political leaders that oversee them with three unacceptable opinions. And they want to persuade the Supreme Court, Congress, and law enforcement. They're trying, and if you remember the code, the law we read last week that says federal law that says it is illegal to persuade any justice of the court to picket and parade in front of their, like, that's the federal law of the land. And they're saying, well, we want to do this to influence the decisions that are being made. So they know it's unconstitutional. They're going to do it anyway today. because there are some expectations today that the Roe v. Wade ruling that Alito wrote and got leaked will be put out. We believe partially that Roberts is trying to delay it to hopefully water it down, to put pressure on Kavanaugh and the families. There's talks of attacks and pressure being applied to Amy Coney Barrett and her family. And there's also, which we can't forget, is for the people who worked under the justices, pressure to be applied to them and their families. So this is nonstop. And so we see this happening while also at the same time this weekend, one of the Sunday morning shows talked about the would-be assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh and how damaging that is to the security of not only Supreme Court justices, but of the actual ability of the Supreme Court justices to not have pressure be applied to them while they're making decisions. And so as we gear closer towards the end of the term, when they usually go on a couple weeks vacation from July until the rest of the summer, the report is that they're going to start releasing opinions on Mondays and Wednesdays. What that means, how many, etc. What we don't really know. No one really knows. So they're waiting to see this. One kind of good note is that the FBI has warned that it will not tolerate violence, destruction, and interference in DC at the Supreme Court as the decision looms. Again, they're saying the right things. Now they need to actually do it. They know people, where they're going to be, what they're going to try to be doing, etc. It's out there on the right, and like every news media has been talking about the shutdown group and what they're planning on doing. FBI obviously knows about it, since they're saying, well, we're not going to tolerate violence. Again, why are you tolerating violence at the homes of the justices? So this is where we want to pray for the safety of the justices and their families, and specifically John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, as more pressure is being applied, more so to Kavanaugh. And we have a prophetic of Kavanaugh and Roberts walking that balance beam, and Roberts looking at Kavanaugh to make sure he stays on or goes off, either way, because Roberts is a follower. He's not a leader, unfortunately. And so even though he is the Chief Justice, he is going to do what is easiest for him to not have more political pressure to apply to him. But we do want to pray for the fear of the Lord to come over him and his and protection for his family, and for them to have peace during this storm as they look possibly today to release the opinion, I believe around 10 Eastern, if not later. We'll see. We don't really know. We'll see. And I'll be paying attention to what opinion, if any opinion, gets released today. Okay. Now, want to shift to kind of some international stuff. We talked about this last week briefly about how the Biden administration is looking towards its summer Middle East tour and reestablishing relationships with Palestine and Palestinian authorities. The reason this is alarming, and I didn't get to this on Friday, is that the goal would be, the intended goal of the Biden administration is to put an embassy for the United States for the Palestinian Authority in Jerusalem, which would ultimately undermine Trump's move of putting an U.S.-Israeli embassy in Jerusalem, solidifying the fact that the United States now considers, or has always, I mean, since 1995, politically considered Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And there was one quote that I really want to read from representative out of New York, Lee Zeldin, who's on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and said that the 1995 Jerusalem Embassy Act was specifically created to prevent this situation. Palestinian Authority and leadership has made it abundantly clear that their push for this action is for the purpose of dividing Jerusalem. The United States unilaterally making this concession to the Palestinian Authority in exchange for no concessions in return has been proven to be a failed policy time and again. Again, this is coming from Lee Zeldman out of New York. He is very, very pro-Israel. He stands for that, mainly because he's Jewish, but he understands the importance of that relationship. And so you're seeing this move by the Biden administration to specifically, number one, undo everything Trump did, but number two, to potentially divide the land of Israel. That is something we really want to pray for this administration. Not only you have the Iran nuclear deal that's possibly getting back into because of the Biden administration, but ultimately we want to intercede for this Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit on the U.S.-Israel relationships, and repent for the idea of dividing the land, and praying that those who are within this administration who do want to stand up for the U.S.-Israeli relationship will not ultimately go forward with this act, because not only is it a political stance, I mean, naturally, internationally, it's another debacle for this administration to walk out right in front of our very eyes, knowing the past, just as Lee Zeldman has talked about here, of the complete undermining of the 1995 Jerusalem Embassy Act, but also of understanding how the Palestinian Authority works, because what it will do is it will allow the administration to funnel money to the Palestinian authorities, which then they funnel the money to terrorists and terrorist acts. And so, which we saw that already with giving money back to the Palestinian authorities that the Trump administration pulled back on. And that really hampered them. That hurt them at the time. But unfortunately, since Biden got back in office, it has done quite the opposite effect and caused some security issues within the land to start to arise. All right. Now, going back to that last portion of Rehuk, the prophetic the Lord gave him, we need to pray for the leaders of the land, even though they will not be able to lead his people, the Lord's people, into freedom that we need, is we're seeing not only from Democrats, but from Republicans as well. And I think we have to call this out. This is more of a cultural issue, but we kind of got to, we really need to call this out as we're in, which is funny, Pride Month in June. The news and it's more so the response from Nancy Pelosi that is something we need to pay attention to, about how she was on RuPaul's drag show and saying, called it an honor to make a second guest appearance. She's done it back in 2018. She said she was inspired by the contestants because they know their power, their freedom of expression, and this is what America is all about. Didn't know America was about perversion, but this is where we need to repent for politicians agreeing with this, especially for those out in California. You have authority for that, but on a national level as well. And then even from Fox News itself, and this is where people really need to keep their emotions in check and check to whether they've made Fox News an idol, of the fact that Fox News itself is pushing, and they're doing it a lot this month, of pushing the idea of this propaganda and lunacy of transitioning children from infancy to their teenagers towards going hormonal blockers and all this other stuff. And I think it's interesting to see the, not just the mainstream opinion on this, but even with the difference of opinions within the quote unquote conservative movement. Warned about this before, about how the conservative quote unquote movement itself had the Republican Party and GOP and everybody involved has some understanding and explaining, more so they have explaining to do of where they stand on this issue, because there are a lot who claim themselves to be Christians. Again, this starts in the church. I mean, first look at the church. We talked about it last week about how God's truth will be backed by scientific evidence, in that they stand up and speak out against this stuff and stop silent on this, is that now you're seeing the split. And look, we talked about last week how the exposure is a good thing, to see where everybody lies, to see where Nancy Pelosi, obviously that's not a surprise, but where Fox News now is speaking out and understanding. And this is part of the problem with the Daily Wire's What Is a Woman documentary, is the fact of, okay, they do a good job of explaining the natural cultural debate, but again, they don't stand up for the biblical truths. And that's part of their DNA. They're not going to do that. That's who Ben Shapiro is and stuff. And that's his stance. But I want to read out of, in these instances, and on this issue, out of Romans 7, verses 14, of reading in our daily reading yesterday. This is the portion. And is Paul clearly talking about not only just this issue, but fleshly desires? And in verse 14, he starts, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want." I know this can be confusing, but "the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. For I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Basically saying, look, There's a battle going inside of me. I have a strength, I have a weakness. The strength is, I know what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. My weakness is, my flesh gives into my sinful nature. And that's the battle that's going on here. And this is where we within the church have to call this out, and understanding that the law itself is spiritual, even as David talked about. That law is that guiding, and understanding that if we didn't have a law, it wouldn't bring light to the situation. But at the end of the day, is are we in the church dealing with this issue? Are we understanding that, look, we need to speak out against this, no matter what our favorite political candidate may say on such things? And look, there are Christian conservative leaders within the political party who their stance on gay marriage and LGBTQ issues is, well, it's law now, so we don't have to worry about that. Some major people that we all like, that's their stance. That's very problematic. We have to ask ourselves, is that where the Lord stands? And I digress from there. So that's just a question of something to chew on in the days ahead. Now, yesterday, the news came out that supposedly, and again, I preface this as supposedly, a group of 20 quote-unquote bipartisan senators reached an agreement on gun control. Now, I want to point this out very, very, very clearly, and we'll go through this, this is from people in the know and aides involved in this, saying that, and this is being stressed through this negotiation, that it is only an agreement on principle. This is not legislative act. So for all the attacks, some rightful, on Republicans who are agreeing with some of these things, and we'll go through that here in a second, is that, and this is a quote from the aide, is that the details will be critical for Republicans, particularly the firearms-related provisions, and one or more of these principles could be dropped if text is not agreed upon. So these are just basically saying, okay, we're going to move forward under these parameters. Before I get to what those parameters are, let's remember that during last year's bipartisan infrastructure negotiations, for example, more than 6 weeks passed between negotiations announcements of a framework and Senate passage of the resulting bill. So something will most likely come out of this. What will yet to be determined? Now, being that as it may, the 9 things they're proposing, I'll go through them. Part of it is support for state crisis intervention orders, basically setting up a fund to help service and administer red flag laws, basically. Investment in children and mental health services, protection for victims of domestic violence, which there is already something on the books, funding for school-based mental health supportive services, which there's already stuff on the books, is are we actually applying it, actually doing it? Funding for school safety resources, again, are you locking the door? There are people there. These are states' issues, unfortunately. Clarification on definition of federally licensed firearm dealer. There's more understanding that needs to come out on this. This is not very clear. These are very general things. Telehealth investments. Again, these are states' issues. Why is federal money going towards this? Under 21 enhanced review process. Basically, higher background checks for anyone under 21, which should already be happening, and I'm pretty sure already are. Don't quote me on that. But then ultimately penalties, making it more illegal for people to do illegal things. And it's very redundant in all this. And so what we're seeing from this is the emotions coming from this. The original report I read was from Politico. They were the first ones to report about this, and then obviously Daily Wire. But I do want to read some quotes from both Senators Chuck Schumer and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. McConnell said that the principles they announced today show yesterday the value of dialogue and cooperation. I continue to hope their discussions yield a bipartisan product that makes significant headway on key issues like mental health and school safety, which none of that was addressed in any of this. Respect for the Second Amendment, which, again, none of this dealt with that, earns broad support in the Senate and makes a difference for our country. Again, none of this will do any of that because you already have laws on the books that actually deal with some of these things that they're trying to deal with. And Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, I want to read both of them, then I have a comment to make, said that he would put a bill on the floor as soon as possible, meaning this isn't a bill. This is just parameters of a negotiation. Now, they're going to put something forward. We'll see. Again, you still have to get every single 10 of those senators who advance the negotiations on this to vote for it. We'll see if that actually happens. After an unrelenting wave of – this is from Chuck Schumer – unrelenting wave of gun-related suicides – and homicides, including mass shootings, the Senate is poised to act on common sense reforms to protect Americans where they live, where they shop, and where they learn. The New York Democrat said, "We must move swiftly and advance this legislation because if a single life can be saved, it is worth the effect." None of this deals with the illegal activity involved with gun violence. The fact that even some of these gun violence, the laws weren't actually followed through. And let's point out the fact that we have to point this out. The Uvalde school police chief says he didn't know he was in charge during the child massacre and explains why he didn't know about 9/11 calls from children inside. Part of it was because he didn't have his radio on him. And he says, "Well, I showed up and the door was barricaded. So I stood there and we were outside. We were ready to go in, but we didn't do anything. Meanwhile, kids inside were dying," and he just sits outside and said, "Well, I didn't know I was in charge. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that." And so I say this story not to infuriate you, because I'm infuriated just even sitting here reading this, but to, okay, we need to keep our emotions in check, number one, but let's look at, are these issues that they're putting forward actually dealing with what is coming forward? And Dana Loesch, a very strong gun advocate, points out a few things. And ultimately, that what these negotiations come down to is basically a mashup of Lindsey Graham's red flag proposals, where Richard Blumenthal would use federal government money in order to incentivize states to remove due process and incorporating their own red flag laws. And it's kind of, she talks about it as a slush fund. I would quite agree with it. So let's say some states do red flag laws, some states don't. Well, the states who do red flag laws are going to get government funding for it, et cetera, et cetera. Corruption funding, et cetera, stuff like that. Also, there's a debate over Prince versus United States, a court case involved in this that deals with upholding the Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, and 14th Amendment that are all ultimately going to erode the structures that be. The domestic violence, she talks about the domestic violence portion is basically just a repeat. There's already a law on the books titled the Lautenberg Amendment that basically deals with domestic violence offenders who should not get guns. If a proper background check is done, then there is the issue with the vagueness around mental health funding, which again would a slush fund is if one state does it, one state doesn't, as far as the quote-unquote telehealth, mental health stuff actually applies it, depending on who's in office, who can gain favor from somebody, it's going to be able to be a way to push money through to each state that stands with this ideology and these things of eroding the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And a lot of this is very vague. We're going to have to see the realities of what comes in the text. And then, hey, if you have a line in on your senator, and as we've seen out of the House, they've gone forward with it because they have the majority as a 50-50 Senate, these 10 senators, and you know who they are, I'll put this article out that points out who they are. North Carolina, both my senators did it here. Bill Cassidy in Louisiana, I know we have some there as well. An understanding of why do they support this? And I go back to Mitch McConnell's statement of how he's saying that the principles they announced yesterday show the value of dialogue cooperation. And the idea that he's pushing is that we're doing something. You can't sit here and say we're not doing anything because he believes they're doing something. And the reality is that this does nothing. You already have these laws on the book. How about we ask the question of why didn't the police chief do his job? Why was the door open? If we really want to care about gun violence, why don't we look at what's happening in Chicago, where if gun laws restrictions actually did something, then Chicago would be the safest city in America, as well as Baltimore, New York, and et cetera, moving forward. So let's start to understand what is going on behind this. The structure, when we go back to the foundations of this nation, the structure of the Senate is to make sure that laws don't get passed, to prevent an overreach of a changing political party who comes in and says, well, I want this, I want this. And so the Holy Spirit gave wisdom to our founders, and this is why we want to pray for our leaders, both Republican and Democrat, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next, and to continue, as we have prophetic from Chuck here and as we're doing your day book, to support the original tent for this nation and the structures that the Lord has wisely guided, and through wisdom and revelation, our founding fathers, that allow freedom to stand and for us to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And that takes a pruning right now for us to lay down any idols in our hearts, anything that is not of the Lord, so that we can walk out fruits within our life and be the light for those around us. So with that, I'll close. Thank you for standing with me today, praying and making yourself sober and aware of what's going on in this season as we touch just a few topics. And not sure how noon prayer will go today as everybody's coming back from Columbia and travels, but we'll let you guys know what happens there, and then we'll definitely be back tomorrow for 100% for sure for our noon prayer. But today we still have yet to determine what will happen as everybody's traveling back from their trip from Columbia. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.